Hey, Mikey and Rin fans.
Hello.
I'm here to talk to you about hydration.
Mm.
Very important in this household.
Amen. I'm a sweater.
We have a Mikey who's a sweater.
True.
And we have a mama who's a breastfeeder.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm always drinking water, trying to keep myself hydrated. It's summer. It's hot. I'm breastfeeding. And water sometimes just isn't enough.
No.
Enter Cure.
Cure.
The Cure.
The Cure.
For my hydration
Great
needs.
Band. Great electrolyte drink.
Great electrolyte drink. It's so delicious. Doesn't have a ton of gross sugars in it.
Mm-mm.
The taste is really gorgeous. The colors are really pretty.
They are beautiful.
It's all natural, so there's no like gnarly dyes, no Mm-mm. red number five in there.
For sure.
And they taste great. Keep me hydrated all day.
Amen. I always think it's weird that the sporty drink that you're supposed to drink after you do something athletic and healthy for yourself is always like the worst of the drinks.
Yeah.
I won't say any names, but one of them is real gross, like grosser than soda. Cure hydration formula is made with things like coconut water powder, pink Himalayan salt, no artificial flavors, sweeteners or preservatives. It's vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO, making it a great option for anybody with any sort of diet moments in their life and any sort of preferences. I love it. It's not just straight sweet. It's like sweet enough, but then it's also got these kind of like fun, bitter and sour flavors that I love that make it feel like it's good for me.
Yes. So are you ready to combat hydration? Try Cure today. Feel the difference for yourself. Use code Let's Eat. That's LETSEAT for 20% off your order.
That is curehydration.com. Get hydrated.
Mikey and Rin eating.
Yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mikey and Rin Eden. This is Two Day Mikey.
This is Rin Dog. What does that mean, Two Day Mikey?
I'm living life 2 days at a time, which means that I have a body type that whatever I did 2 days ago is how my body looks. So like yesterday, I played tennis for 2 hours, really intense tennis, sweat a lot, ran a ton, looked great, fit, all the things. Mm-hmm. And then we went for a big hike out in the Columbia River Gorge in Oregon.
Beautiful place.
2 days ago, yes, I did play tennis, mm-hmm. but I also ate a fair amount
mm-hmm.
and I drank a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
Went out and played pickleball with a friend, but we also had some Manhattans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm 2 days in now from that experience. And so my body is going, 2 days ago, you did bad shit. So it's, I'm feeling floppy and gushy in a way that I shouldn't feel because I ran and did all my tons of exercise yesterday. But tomorrow, I will look great.
No matter what you do today.
No matter what. Yeah, because there's a delayed effect.
Right. That seems wildly unfair.
Sure. Yeah. It's. I mean, if I was more superstitious, I would think that maybe there was like some Irish or religious, I don't know, thing, some guilt element to it.
Well, because you probably already feel somewhat guilty the next day.
Sure.
Just because you've done it.
Hungover.
Not because your body looks any kind of way.
No, actually, sometimes I look better. Like, I'm like, fuck, maybe I should just drink every night.
I had a friend who, that was her theory. Like,
she would dehydrate yourself.
She would drink and she'd get really dehydrated and then she'd look really skinny the next morning. I never felt that. I always felt puffy the next day. Yeah.
I know. And it's a, and I think that it's a, if I drink a lot of beer, then the next day I feel like I'm like just rolling through the door. If I drink like vodka martinis or something, the next day I feel like I'm like...
You're like James Bond.
Yeah. Well, definitely that. I wake up with a strange Russian spy in my bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
I love those mornings.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
but it's, I think that's really funny. Like you wake up the next day just feeling guilty because you've done it.
Yeah, you're in the laying over from it.
And then you need to be reminded the following day,
don't do it again. Because then the second day out, you don't feel bad. So then you need to look bad. Because I'll look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh man, like I didn't do anything bad last night and I fucking exercised so hard. And then I'll look at myself and I'm like, oh no, is that a flesh fanny pack? What happened? Those are shadows I've never seen before. So this is a show about it's food really good. and guilt. And
usually paired together.
Yeah, yeah. Self-judgment and eating go hand in hand in our house. So we've got... we've had a week off. We did take a week off without telling anybody.
Yeah, we went to go visit some friends in Los Angeles, California.
City of Los Angeles.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was really fun. We stayed with them. They have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And our baby, who's almost 11 months, was just on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
He was so lit and so excited to be around those kids. And vice versa. Yeah. They were so thrilled to be in his presence and kept like every time he was napping, he'd be napping for like 4.5 seconds. And they'd be like, when's he going to?
Yeah, when are we getting him up? And I feel the same way. Like the second he goes to sleep, I'm like, God, it's like not a minute too soon. I needed him to go to bed. And then 2 minutes in, I'm like, should we wake him up? I miss him already. Yeah, and it was, I mean, people say that like the, like if your kid has a really good night's sleep, you'll like, you can see them grow. Like you can see them feel more mature or whatever.
Yeah.
He, watching him around, there was kids, it was like, so it was, we had a 16-month-old, a 3-year-old, 5.5-year-old, an 8-year-old, like all from different friends and family that were visiting. And he was just looking at a different thing from each one of them. And it was amazing to watch him. Like he was like, I'm going to be that age at some point.
Yeah.
These are some developmental steps that I could do to get there. He like jumped on the trampoline with them. Ugh. I mean, he was bounced around on the trampoline.
What I think is also so cool is that each one of those kids had enormously different personalities, right?
Sure.
We had the kid that like, literally never stopped.
Yep.
She just would ping pong from thing to thing. We had the kid who, actually, the kiddo of a former guest on this show, Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful human.
Sure.
Who really likes EDM music and was was playing this one song and dancing his little tush off. It was so adorable. And Riggsy would just, you know, want to go in the kitchen with him and watch him dance and do the same. It was so cute. But it's just, I think it's so cool to see the variety of personalities and sort of who Riggsy became around each person.
Totally.
It was really, really, really fun. And food wise there, we had some good food, but I think the standout was in Crystal's yard.
Oh,
she has this
by far
beautiful backyard.
Yeah. California, like, you know, backyard where there's like, everything's growing there.
Everything's growing.
And stuff that you're like, I thought that grew in Costa Rica.
Totally. Yeah. And her partner, they really like curate some beautiful food.
Totally.
She's
Mexican. He's Iranian.
Yeah.
And they just like, they have like this really cool food sense. I think he's also a trained chef.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yep. And so there was passion fruit.
Whoa. I had no idea what it looked like.
No, like I've had, I mean, growing
I know
up
what it looks like inside.
As a white in the Northeast, sure. It's like, I don't know. I didn't have passion
you
fruit.
You had no passion for your fruit.
Absolutely not.
You're an old cantaloupe from the West Coast.
Exactly.
You get apples for
or
a month.
Or apples from Washington.
You get apples for a month. And then, yeah.
But wow, it blew my mind.
Passion fruit and the way that her husband cut it, he like walks up to us. It's the size of like a large egg, small apple, twice two ping pong balls. Half eaten bag of peanut M&Ms. No, but then he took a knife and he kind of scored or he like sliced around 3/4 of it and then bent back the top like a little hat, bent it back, and then he gave you a little spoon and you just scoop everything out of the inside and it's like crunchy little seeds
that you eat.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then just like this pulpy yellow flesh that's so sour and sweet.
It's magnificent. So it's its own little vessel, which I just think is the sexiest thing you can possibly imagine, right? And our baby went absolutely ham for it.
Was just like, he looked up at us. Because, you know, he eats, we probably talked about this on the show, but.
Eats lemon.
He'll eat lemon, like suck on a lemon.
So sour is his flavor, for sure.
Yeah, and he looked up at us and he was like, because he hasn't had that much. Like, he's had kiwi. Like, yep. Sweet things are kind of limited in his world.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, breast milk.
Yeah.
But this is, like, sweet and sour to, like, a pornographic level. Yeah, he just looks up at us. He was like, oh.
You've been hiding this from me for the past 5 months?
Totally. It was great.
Oh, it was just extraordinary. Was so if you can get your hands on fresh passion fruit.
Do it.
If you live in the States, I know it's a little more challenging. But
sure. Certain states. Not so challenging.
But wow, yeah. It is just magnificent. Insane.
And grows like a vine around. It was on their like fences and stuff. And I think it's extremely invasive. Like once it starts, It goes crazy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So like when you plant it, you got to be careful because it will just take over.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get started, our main segment today is going to be about
some postpartum foods and drinks.
Totally.
We've had a couple of people reach out and just like, what was I eating after I had a baby? Sure. What do I continue to eat? Because it's, you know, it's a different body that you're living in.
It is.
And so we'll just kind of go through, kind of like we did that one day when we did, or that one show when we
what
did
we're eating.
our family for sure. Meals.
I love that.
But I wanted to just drill down on a couple of things that I found really helpful in the immediate postpartum. And then I just continue to have, now that I have a cycle back and when I want to like really replenish myself. So
yeah, let's do that. Hey, Rin.
Hey, Mikey.
Do you think I have a new obsession?
You do. You do have a new obsession.
I do.
You do.
I call it I'm jetting. So we're talking about the Blend Jet. So the Blend Jet it's basically a handheld blender with a drinking vessel on top of it. And I've had this lifelong dream. Started probably not lifelong, but maybe high school, maybe junior high. I would get 7-Eleven Slurpees, and I love them. But they were just too sugary. I'd get the Coca-Cola Classic ones. It was just too sweet, too sugary, too much. And my dream was that I could have a Slurpee consistency, but ice water or ice water with lemon. And the Blend Jet has brought me this.
It delivers.
So like 6 times a day, I fill up my Blend Jet with ice and then fill it almost to the brim with water, a little squeeze of lemon, and then I blend it up. And it becomes this silk. The blade is so strong and so sharp that it makes this like super, super smooth, yummy, slurpy texture. And I just eat it with my spoon, drink it with my mouth, and I love it so much. My Blend Jet is my new girlfriend. Sorry, side piece.
Mikey said it. Blend Jet 2 is portable. You can blend up a smoothie at work. You can do a protein shake at the gym.
That's me blending right now, jetting.
Or you can do a sugar-free, no additives Slurpee.
True.
It's small enough. It fits in a cup holder, but it's powerful enough to blast through tough ingredients like ice. Mikey's ice.
Yeah. My ice, frozen fruit.
Frozen fruit.
Craziness. Probably your hand, but it's safe. It turns itself off so you can't chop through your hand.
Blend Jet 2 is super quiet, so you can make your morning smoothie without waking up the whole house. We know how important this is in this house. We've got a new baby.
Word.
I make my smoothies every afternoon while he's sleeping.
Not in the Blend Jet sometimes, and it's in another blender that basically rocks the foundation of our home like an earthquake.
Lasts for 15 or more blends and recharges quickly with a USB-C. Best of all, Blend Jet cleans itself. Mikey loves this part when I use it. Blend water with a drop of soap. You're good to go.
It's amazing. So what are you waiting for? Go to blendjet.com and grab yours today. Be sure to use our promo code Let's Eat, LETSEAT, to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. No other portable blender on the market comes close to the quality, power, and innovation of the Blend Jet 2. They guarantee you'll love it or your money back. Blend anywhere, anytime with the Blend Jet 2 portable blender. Go to blendjet.com and use the code Let's Eat to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. Shop today and get the best deal ever.
What are you waiting for?
Get jetting. Before we get to that, I have a little segment. Dun, 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 dun. It's not a quiz.
Oh! Fabulous.
Makes me feel rich segment.
Oh, love the makes me feel rich.
Love it. Everybody does. Everybody's like calling, writing in, carrier pigeons.
More of that make me rich section.
Spray painting it on our front doorstep. Yes. When are we going to do MMFR again? Yeah, so it makes me feel rich. Okay, so first one is when I open a new thing of dish soap.
Oof.
Like, there's no...
You don't have to be shaken.
Nope.
You don't have to be squeezing.
Hammering it or swinging it around. There's no more sudsy moment in our house than when I have a new bottle of soap, because I am loading up the dishes with that.
You're just leaving the water running loading up that soap.
Just let it rock. We use a really nice like soap that you could eat, but it also is quite sudsy, and I just will spritz everything with that. And it makes me feel rich. At the same level, conversely equal levels with how poor I feel when I'm at the last quarter of an ounce of dish soap, that I'm just like, I know it's in there and I have to fucking hammer it against my hand or shake it. I'll throw it out with, I'll recycle it. Fuck you. But with like, a half an ounce of dish soap in there. Cause I just can't, It's so fucking slow. It's like old maple syrup.
And this is where you and I are so different. Cause when I'm at the end, I actually get really excited. Cause I'm like, ooh.
Using all of it.
Yeah. I get to turn the bottle over. First of all, going to get me some more juice.
Right. And have it balance and fall on everything.
Correct. Yeah. Right? Well, then it's a fun little game. Cause we have our little, bottle soap, right? That we use to wash Rizzi's bottles. So I have that, and then I'll place it next to it so that it's
kind of holds it up.
It holds it up.
Nice.
And then when that's no longer working, then I get to fill the bottle with some water. And then you get a nice sudsy experience.
You like that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, see, I thought you used to give me shit when I would do that.
No,
totally start doing that.
No, I love that.
You sure didn't do it on this last round.
Well, you
I checked
before,
it early.
Yeah, before I could, I had turned it upside down, and then you said,
"You're right.
I'm all done."
Okay, next up is some of these are food related, and some of them aren't. No, actually, they're all food related. Batch cocktails. Nothing makes me feel more rich than when I have a party and I make a batch of cocktails in a big bucket or a big cool pitcher, and there's just it's free refills. My favorite one, maybe of all time. I call it the walkaway dinner, and it's when you're at a restaurant and you're waiting for your food and you get up to go to the bathroom and then your food's there when you get back. It happened to us in LA.
Yeah.
And we kind of been waiting for a second, and I got up, went to the bathroom with Riggy and came back and our food was there. And I was like, like a king.
Yeah.
They just delivered
they
it
knew.
To me.
They knew it was time.
Yeah. And my hands are perfectly washed. Yeah. I'm ready to, like a surgeon, I'm fully been prepped. I'm ready to get after
you're gloved
this
up.
Meal.
You're ready to go.
Totally. Yeah. Okay, last but not least, pacifiers.
Food for the soul is what pacifiers are.
And so we don't really let Riggy use a pacifier that much. It's kind of like
snap sleeping.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe if he's like bugging out in the car. But we also have, the dumbest, all cribs for the most part are the dumbest design because they have holes in the side in between the slats where your kid can either put their femur in there and then snap it in half. Put their arm in there, dislocate their shoulder.
Remember when he was doing that a while ago? Like sticking his arm through and then kind of getting it caught?
And then he would like twist his body. I hate it. Like why are there holes, gigantic holes in the side that are twice the size of a baby's arm? And then the other thing that can happen is if you have pacifiers in the crib, your kid just boots them out of there like a soccer ball. Thank you, Ronald Messi or whatever his name is. That gets paid $900 million a day. But so what happens is like I'll pull the crib away from the wall and it's like a fucking, you've hit a jackpot lottery in the slot machine. It's just like, and it's like 15 pacifiers just raining down off the back. And I feel like I've won the lottery and I go and I wash them, dry them, and then put them, and we have like a bowl. If we have 10 pacifiers like in that bowl, I mean, Mega Millions. We've won it all.
Yeah, I'd rather that than like a candy jar. I remember candy jars as a kid, and it was just like, whoa, this person is fancy.
When I remember candy jars, and it would be like a mixture of candies.
Oh, yeah.
And then like you'd come when it was kind of running low, and it would just be those stupid strawberries.
Oh.
In the package, remember those? Had the jelly in the middle?
Yeah.
Sick.
No, thank you.
And then what would the other one be? I don't know, some other terrible candy that no one would want.
Yep.
Coming up after the our main segment, there will be a candy quiz.
Ooh.
You're welcome. Okay. We are in
the, I'm trying to get on board, okay?
With the quiz?
Yeah.
You I'm don't on, have to.
I'm going to, instead of dismay.
Mm-hmm. You can have dismay. Everybody, the fans love the dismay. It's a cuckolding situation. And it's also a little bit like when Neil deGrasse Tyson like tells, you know, flat earthers or fucking religious people that like, he's like, the great part about science is it exists whether you believe in it or not. Right. So whether you like the quiz
is
not,
happening, whether you like happening. It or not. Yeah.
Unless you divorce me and we stop doing the show, not going to happen.
No, but I'm going to try and turn it around. My okay. displeasure for pleasure.
All right. Well, yeah. Let's talk about some real stuff first.
Yeah. So postpartum.
Sure. It happens.
And we had.
You want to break down the word? Post.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah.
Partum. Birth.
Birth. We had a wild one.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear postpartum, our culture has taught me to think postpartum blank. Postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, postpartum suicidal ideations. Like, I just feel like when you say postpartum, I immediately think you're saying something bad.
Did you think that before our postpartum experience? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, because you never hear about postpartum. Like, I don't.
Postpartum joy. Postpartum.
No. Right. And you never hear. I always just like postpartum, and it's like, it's misogyny, right? I mean, it's just like, oh, yeah. Women are crazy,
right.
Especially after they've given birth. And right. so I feel like right. I hear the term postpartum and I immediately think it's like a pathologized negative thing.
Well, and sometimes they replace, like, you know, if you're going to say postpartum depression, it's just like, oh, they have postpartum. Like, it's sometimes just called postpartum.
Totem.
Yeah, no. They do have postpartum. Right. They just gave blank. Birth. Right. Like, that's just the way they exist right
but
now.
But I like the idea of saying, like, they have postpartum. I have postpartum joy.
Right, right.
I don't
right.
know. It's just not something we right. talk about.
Well, because it is such – the way that I experienced postpartum anyway, it was such a range, right? There was so much joy. There was so much anxiety. There was so many health challenges, right? And so we had the full range. We had this – you know, we've talked about this before. We had this idea that we were going to take, like – the first 40 days and like lay around in bed and figure out how to nurse. Yeah. And we had prepped all this food.
Sure.
And instead we were carting my high blood pressure ass back and forth to the hospital. So,
but we talked a lot about the first 40 days, the book.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a beautiful book.
It's wonderful.
And the person who wrote it is a wonderful, I really love her vibe and like the whole thing. And the recipes were amazing. And a lot of the things that we did for ourselves, like making food that we froze in little 8-ounce portions was great. Another part of it, and we are just coming from Los Angeles, and I feel like there's this rarefied life that person has in this book.
Sure.
And like you see it in her home. She's got this beautiful kind of like postmodern, gorgeous, sparse home that like is very expensive. I mean, you can just tell it's like this is like a Malibu / whatever home. Right. And so it's like, and she has like family that comes up and helps out. And I would imagine she also might have hired help. And so it's, to me, it's a little bit like, it's dope that she kicks this idea out. And people can do it that have family support or whatever.
Sure.
But I'm also like, it is kind of ableist and speaks to, and elitist in the financial sense, but it's ableist in that it speaks to, you had a good birth in which you're not seriously recovering from health traumas or in the middle of them when you're trying to do this first 40-day thing.
Right.
It does kind of speak to that. And, you know, she doesn't have to speak to everybody's situations, but I look back at it a little bit now and I'm like, fuck you. Like,
Well, and it's funny because I'm of two minds about it, right? It's like, I appreciate the, hey, you know what? Mm. You do actually have to recover. Mm. Right. And really promoting that idea. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone had the opportunity to just lay up and recover and family or friends or whatever, everyone was, all hands were on deck.
Yeah.
So that person could literally be in a nest.
Right.
You know, and didn't have to go back to work and didn't have to take care of another kid and all the things. Right.
Well, and I'd way rather have that book in my orbit than like, here's how to get back to work.
Get your body back.
Yeah, get your body back. Yeah. Get back to your efficiencies or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, the people in our culture that are like, I was back at work, you know, in 2.5 weeks or whatever.
Right.
It's just like, fuck, that sucks that you felt like you had to do that or you had to do that. That's bullshit.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyways.
But, you know, all of that aside, I think the my big takeaways were that I really had to make sure that I was nourished and make sure that I felt joy. Like, yes, my baby was bringing me joy, but it was a very complicated joy.
Yeah, sure.
I found breastfeeding really challenging. My health was not great. And so all of that was tied to him and the birth. And, you know, sometimes when I looked at him, it was like, oh my God, this is so much.
Yeah.
And,
and it's also tied innately to your femininity. Like it's,
you are
the birthing female partner who has, like, I wanted to help out in so many ways and couldn't because, but it's also like, I didn't have any of the burdens on me.
Right.
Like I could leave.
Right. Totally.
And go shopping or go for a bike ride or whatever. And it was like, you know, you haven't been able to, because you're breastfeeding and because of a lot of other things, just you have to be here.
Totally.
It's a lot.
Totally.
So much.
But I think so the one thing that is such a like clear and distinct memory is making these teas for myself, right? Because I'm a notorious water drinker. I literally have my mason jar next to me.
Yeah.
Right now.
Speaking of
breastfeeding, those were some newly sterilized breast pump parts.
Yeah.
But
again, and also just for all of you designers out there, product designers out there, of all the things that shouldn't make fucking beeping noises, it's things that you're using around baby. Yes. So that is our bottle dryer.
Warmer dryer.
And that used to be in our bathroom next to our bedroom.
Right.
And it would go off after she'd been pumping, which sometimes is the middle of the night. Fuck you for having four long beeps.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Just have it shut off.
Totally. But one of the things that brought me so much joy is to have these little tea infusions sitting in mason jars on the counter. Mm. And so one of the things I always prepared were nettles.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I did a fair amount of was red raspberry leaf and then some goat's rue. Do you remember these teas?
I do remember that, yeah. So the red raspberry was so good.
It's so good. Yeah. It's like black tea almost.
Right. That's a tea that I don't think people really know about, but it's available everywhere. You can get it in bags, like dried bag tea or whatever. And it's
You don't have to do the raw herb.
It doesn't taste like raspberry. It's just like, it's super good.
It's it's beautiful because it really helps to tone the uterus. So it's great in like the last trimester.
What does tone mean?
Like help. I mean, because it's a big muscle, right?
Oh, okay,
so you want it to be strong. And because you're going to be having all of these, if you're going to do a vaginal birth, you're going to have all these contractions, right? And so you want that area to be nice and strong and ready.
And is that the same as tonify? When you say tonifying?
Well, tonify when you're talking about like an East Asian medicine tonify, is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's more like, strengthen.
Okay.
Yep, strengthen,
kind of more
boost.
In like a...
It's in the kind of literal sense, like the Western sense of, you know, kind of toning a muscle.
Okay.
But it's great postpartum too, right?
Yeah.
You really want to, it's super supportive for the uterus. Tonifying. For the uterus. But, you know, one of my favorite things to do was to get this big mason jar. And you can get fresh herbs. Like, we're really lucky. Right down the street, we have this beautiful place called Wildish.
Oh, yeah. That place is awesome.
Which has these raw
Hogwarts
herbs.
Oh, Harry Potter shit.
Like, this beautiful apothecary, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can order herbs from them and have them delivered. There's also... Mountain Rose, I think that's the name of it.
Wildish is also unique because it's one of these companies that actually has good branding and looks like it was created
it's beautiful.
In the 2020s rather than in the 70s by your grandma.
It's really beautiful. It's one of my favorite places to go in. But I just got all of these herbs from them and they, you know, just put them in paper bags for you. And it's actually a really affordable way to do tea. And if you're concerned about like a lot of waste with tea bags, this is such a great way to do it. Cause then you can either reuse the herbs after you, decoct them or after you make a tea, or you can just compost them.
And it's so fun to go in and like smell all the different jars.
Oh,
and
they've got, so
you know,
fun.
Everything is, you know, it's a plant. And so you can make your own teas, make your own everything and mix and match blend. It's very cool.
My typically what I did was like 4 cups of water. I think it was 4 cups to 1 cup of herbs. Mm. And basically what I'd do is I'd have a big mason jar. I'd put the herbs in, a cup of the herbs in. I'd boil 4 cups of water. I'd pour it over the herbs and then I'd go to sleep.
Right.
And well, theoretically. I'd go to sleep. Yeah, I'd go upstairs. Yeah. And then when I came down in the morning, I just had this like beautiful tea and herby mason jar sitting on the counter.
It was really nice.
And it was so pretty. Yeah.
And our house, and it made our house
smell. It made our house smell great. It was just, there was something about that sense for me that was, it was very sensual, yeah. Right? Like you could smell it. The mason jar looked beautiful and then it tasted gorgeous. So what I would do is I'd then heat up, I'd strain it and I'd heat up the tea because I didn't want to drink mine cold. But nettles in particular are really, really cool because they have a ton of iron in them.
Okay.
I think they even have some protein in them. So it's like weird. The best postpartum herb and also really good for allergies. So like if you want to do some nettles when it's springtime. Really good.
Nettle tea, nettle soup. Nettles are one of those things that are the scariest thing. They're hurt more than
to harvest. Than ever. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you can just get a bag of them, they're so delicious.
Stinging nettles, right? Is typically what they're called.
And the second that you heat them, so if you touch them when they're like dry out and like when they're growing, it's like they have hollow needles on them or something like that.
Oh.
And so when they barb to you, and God, it feels terrible.
Oh, it's
it feels
really like bad.
Stung by a jellyfish.
Totally.
But the second that you heat them, the stinging quality goes away.
So cool. Yeah. I just think they're so delicious too. Like it's a really complex flavor. And then also a galactagogue.
Oh wow, like a milk booster.
Totally.
We talked about the galactagogues.
Totally.
Yeah. The best space friends.
I just think, and I continue to drink nettle tea to now. I have a couple tea bags. I haven't done my infusion in a while, but it's just really magical.
That's so good. And I also love the idea of anything that's like an overnight something.
Yes.
Overnight, you know,
oh my God. Yeah. That's another thing that I was just going to talk about.
Oh, shit.
What a great segue. Look at the mind meld.
God, welcome to our marriage, you guys. It's amazing. We're one soul and brain and genitals.
Yeah, so one thing that I really like to do for myself is, and our family, is to have breakfast prepared in the morning. Mm. Not all the time, but especially on a work day. And oats, again, a really good lactation booster. They're great, you know, as a cereal that you cook and have warm. But we do this overnight oats situation that's so yummy. And it's just oats and then some plant milk. I put a little Greek yogurt in ours just because we want a little extra protein. Chia seeds, great vegetarian source of iron and a little protein. And then we do a little cinnamon just to make it sort of warming. And that's it. Stir it up, leave it overnight. You can sweeten it a little with some maple syrup if you want. We don't do that for Riggsies. You can put some coconut in there, some fruit.
And I definitely pour as many crunchy things on top because it's a texture that I find challenging. I don't like a gooey, mushy texture. That's why I don't like oatmeal in general. But this is super good. And I just pour a bunch of like pecans or walnuts on top and then, crunch it up.
It's so good.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's delicious. And you don't have to worry about it in the morning. Very few dishes, very, very little cooking. You can just enjoy your coffee.
100%.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we did and haven't, it's summer, so we don't do a ton of like soups and congees and things like that. But in the beginning, we did a lot of congee and we had everything just frozen.
Right.
And I found that another thing that just like brought me so much joy.
Oh, for sure. We had that butternut squash soup that was so warming and delicious. Yeah. You had turmeric in it, maybe, I think.
And then we did a bunch of rice congee. So
that was so good.
You know, a cup of rice to like 8 cups of water. You let it cook overnight. And we had frozen a whole bunch so that when I got readmitted to the hospital a couple times, Mikey would bring these little frozen pucks with us and then go searching around the hospital for a microwave.
Yep.
And he'd heat them up. And then we had like pulled pork and egg.
We've talked about this before, but I mean, if there's anything that you take from this show, it's go out and buy some of the really nice silicone like cupcake things. They're like eight, I think they're a cup per cup. And then you just, anything that you make, just put in there. So it's all like, you know, in portion sizes, freeze it, and then dump all those into like gallon bags. And you can just grab anything you need anytime you want it. It's great for camping. It's great for like everything. And I mean, that was the biggest lifesaver.
It was so incredibly convenient, because then otherwise you're eating hospital food, which, like, let's be honest.
Yeah, we're like, we're at a hospital that has really good hospital food and like locally sourced stuff. Still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really wonderful. So a couple things about that meal in particular, it's really easy to digest, right? So your body just did so much work. I don't care how your birth happened.
Yeah.
If you had a vaginal birth, if it went really quickly, if you had a 70-hour labor, if you had a scheduled C-section, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You have just had almost 10 months of growing a human and then birthing a human, however that happened.
Or less than 10 months.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so however that happened for you, it's your body went through a lot. And so to ask of it also to then, like, you know, crush a Burgerville fries and burger is challenging, right? For sure. So things that are almost like—
But if you need that, get that too.
Well, we did that also, right? Sure. But yeah, as much kind of like easy to digest pre-digested food, and then also adding in like warming spices to kind of help kick those digestive juices into gear. Yeah. Ginger, fennel, cinnamon.
Yummy.
Yeah, it was super yummy and supportive.
Yeah. Those warming, I mean, it's the warming spices are not only warming because they feel warm, but they also are juicing up your system, right? Like
for
they're helping, they're like telling your stomach to like really get after this.
For
really,
sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicely done. This was an informational episode with Rennie. She's so good. She just wants to like school.
I try and do it like not, because I could wax poetic for hours, but I try to not nerd out too much and just like give little tidbits. Yeah. And
this is what we get much far more feedback about your helpful hints than any of my dumb bullshit. So. Okay, speaking of dumb bullshit, the Monster Mash. They did the mash. Monster quiz.
Oh.
So this whole month, it's October. It's Spooktober, everybody. welcome to our Halloween Spooktober. And I'm going to do little quizzes about Halloween.
Fun.
And so they're going to be very random and very different. And this is a three-question quiz.
Great.
You might be able to win it. You probably can't. But this will be three questions. As always with my quizzes, I'm the only one who knows the answers, and they're my my subjective answers. So here we go.
Okay.
What is the best candy for Halloween?
A Snickers bar.
Totally.
Hands down.
Totally.
1,000,000%. That's the right answer.
The snack size ones.
Yes. Size. I would say snack size because, as we've talked about before, you can eat many and feel like you haven't eaten very many.
That's so good.
You eat one whole bar of a Snickers and I'm like, wow.
That's so good.
That was a lot of Snickers.
So that's correct. But specifically what I was thinking of is the time when I was maybe fifth grade and we were trick-or-treating and I found a bag of candy that unfortunately probably what happened is a little kid dropped it or something, but I just added it to my bag. I just put it inside. I carried a pillowcase, of course.
This is while you're trick-or-treating.
While I'm trick-or-treating. Yeah, yeah. So I had a pillowcase, of course, because that was the G way to get candy. But I just added it to mine, like in its own bag. Wow. So as I got home, I took out my candy and then the stolen or found candy. Mm. And that found candy tasted so much sweeter. Yeah. There were Snickers involved in it for sure. But it's found candy is the best candy.
Hey, I'm going to just pause us for 1 second. Oh. Funny that we're talking about what we're talking because I'm going to finish this little tea that I'm making, which is red date and goji berry.
Yum.
Is like this sweet, gorgeous, amazing tea. And I'm continuing to drink this postpartum after my cycle, replenish some blood. Goji berries are like magical and amazing and incredible, and they're so delicious and red, and it's just beautiful. So this is another like beautiful little infusion, but I'm just going to add the gojis and BRB.
Here she gojis. Shut up. All right, so while she's doing that, I'm going to sing us into a commercial. Look into us, you will see what you mean to me. Hey fam, Mikey here. So obviously, Rinny is the brains, the beauty, the brawn behind our episodes, behind the beautiful podcast that is Mikey and Rin Eden. But I am the I'm the tech savvy fella. So I do all of our editing, recording, all of the equipment stuff, and I have had a heck of a time finding the proper platform, host service, all the things for our podcast. I'm new to this. This was the first time we've ever done this. When we started podcasting, I had no idea what I was doing, and we kind of got run through the ringer. We are now using Zencastr. So it's Zencastr, and it makes everything so easy for beginners and professionals, all the things. Everything's in one easy dashboard. You can insert ads. You can edit. There's a lot of cool AI technology that I haven't really even dipped into yet, but it makes it all sound amazing. There's even an automatic platform that takes out the ums and ahs in podcasts, which if you listen to our show, I have not utilized yet because there's lots of ums and ahs, but Zencastr is amazing. So go to Zencastr.com. That's Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code Let's Eat, LETSEAT, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences that I do for all my podcasting and content needs. And it's time to share your story. Do you have a podcast living inside of you? I did. And now it's out thanks to Zencastr. Do it. Everything I do it for you. Oh, yeah. She's back, folks.
I totally thought you were going to pause it.
I'm not going to leave that in. Or maybe I will. Oh, you guys will never know. If you send us $50 in a self-addressed envelope, I will send you the whole unedited version of that. It's sexual. Okay, here we go. 0 for 1. Second question is, what the fuck did I write here? Oh, yes. Best costume. What's the best costume for Halloween? You actually know the answer to this one.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
MacGyver.
Ooh, MacGyver. Good one. Why did you say that?
Well, because you loved MacGyver as a kid, and I thought maybe that would be the costume that you would want.
Didn't dress as MacGyver for Halloween. Dressed as MacGyver for real life. I did.
Did you have like a little
army jacket,
pocket knife with you?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if I actually got in trouble for it in preschool, but I definitely had a Swiss Army knife. And I brought it with me I had like a flight jacket, which was kind of what MacGyver wore. And I had it in the jacket. No one ever knew about that, though, I don't think. So I don't think I can tell. But I had like a knife on me in preschool.
Great.
Cool. So yeah, that's incorrect. I mean, it's correct because MacGyver's the best and always should be celebrated. Hashtag MacGyver. Always. But no, the best costume was when I went as gum on the bottom of your shoe. I dressed in all pink and I glued a baby shoe to my head and it was gum on the bottom of your shoe.
That's good because you're pink too. I'm pink. So.
Right. So I was one big piece of bubble gum.
Yeah. Did you have a beard then?
Yes. Yeah. I had an Abraham Lincoln beard. I had just the chin.
Oh, yeah. Right. This was in college.
Yeah. Those of you that were in college might remember me from that.
Yeah.
You might have kissed that night. You're welcome. And 0 for 2.
Uh-huh.
Final question of the night. Oh my God.
My joy is fading. Okay, got it. My pleasure is fading.
We're all about enthusiastic consent and enthusiastic updates in our personal life and sexual life. And so she often says that to me. My joy is fading.
My pleasure is fading.
My pleasure is fading. Consistent. One. That's a consistent saying to me. Okay, the best decor. What is the best Halloween decor?
Oh, I mean, the Monster House.
You're fucking right.
The Monster House. Wait, did I really get an answer right?
So, you guys, our house is pumpkin colored, and every year we turn it into the Monster House, which is teeth on the porch, so it looks like a mouth, and then eyes on the roof. And it's the Monster House. You won.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time.
Again, though, you do have to have more than one point, though. That's you have to 1.5. I think it's 1.25 points we decided was the winning score. No, you win. I'll let you win.
Thank you.
You win. But this is an ongoing quiz throughout the month of October. So you won this portion. This is one quarter of the total score.
Got it.
Needed to win Spooktober.
Okay.
Quiz-a-thon.
We really should put up a photo of the Monster House. Because it's been happening now for
8 years.
10 years? Eight. Well, because we did you did it in Boulder,
but
too.
But I did it at our house in West Denver Place, too.
Yeah, so it's been...
maybe 14 years, 13
it's
years.
It's really fun. Yeah, it's awesome. Really fun. So it's maybe great. We should post.
We could never live in a house that isn't... How did we do Boulder?
I don't remember.
That's weird. Maybe just with the garage as the mouth.
Yeah.
This is a fun insider baseball story for everybody.
Jesus, I know.
You don't know what a fucking house
so
looks like.
So interesting, right?
All right. cool episode, guys. No, it was a great episode. Shut up. We love you. Thanks for sticking with us through the thick, thin, and otherwise.
It's true. Reach out to us. We love to hear your feedback. We also love to hear when you have new ideas for the show, like what was inspired today.
Yep.
So let's eat at MikeyandRin.com. And then
even better way of reaching out is just hit us on Instagram.
Yeah, at Mikey and Rin is our Insta. And we love, love, love you and love to hear from you and love making the show for you.
And we love lovemaking.
We
love lovemaking. Shut up. We had a breakfast that was all boys to men today. So,
ooh, yeah.
I'm feeling sexy. Very sexy.
Sexy.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.